Talking some Purdue basketball, getting you set for college hoopage later on this week. Talking Pacers, Colts, everything here on a Wednesday afternoon. Here to help us out with that, Nathan Baird of the Lafayette Journal and Courier joins us now via the WBDG hotline. Nathan, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm well, Grant. How's it going?
We're doing pretty good and a little bit better after the Purdue blowout win against Rutgers last night, a 35-point win for the Boilermakers last night. Just kind of talk about that matchup there. Purdue now improves to 11-6 and kind of how Purdue has progressed this season.
Well, I think it was a good bounce back or extension for them. You know, they had the win Wednesday at Wisconsin, Friday at Wisconsin. It was a big win for them because they hadn't been able to finish off any of these road wins against good teams. They'd had several chances at it earlier in the year. So I thought that kind of got a bit of a monkey off their back. But at the same time, they knew that if they came home and lost to Rutgers, I was going to give back some of the benefit of winning a game like that on the road in terms of your NCAA resume, that sort of thing. So to come back and really kind of take care of business, I mean, they were by 10 at halftime, and then they just dominated the second half. That was a good sign for this team. And especially when you've got a game like Indiana hanging out at the end of the week. This is a young team still, and you never know where focus strays when they know there's a big game like that coming up. And they really, across the board, it was a game where they pretty much dominated except for a couple stretches in the first half. Rutgers is able to kind of keep it close, but once Purdue locked in, they ended up dominating on the boards. They shot a really strong percentage, and defensively, it was a good night for them. So that's kind of what this team has to be about. I mean, they've done a good job really avoiding any kind of slip ups or problems at home. I think they're 8-0 or 9-0 at home now. It's just been those road games have been pretty elusive. So if they can really hold serve or keep winning everything they can at home in the Big Ten, it's going to put them in position for not having to worry about whether they get in the in-state tournament or not. But that also includes the game like Saturday when you've got a better team like Indiana, a nationally ranked team that I know they've been on a bit of a downturn lately. But still a game that Purdue has to find a way to win because the road wins are going to be just so hard to come by in the Big Ten.
Is Purdue's defense, I mean, is that something that you can look to as a factor contributing to their success this season? I have noticed that their defense has kind of picked up here in these two wins, at Wisconsin, then at home versus Rutgers.
Well, I think it's the critical thing for them. How far they get as a team, whether that's, whether they even make the NCAA tournament, but certainly what kind of seed they get and how far they can go in the NCAA tournament, I think is going to be predicated on their defense because this offense is just a lot more volatile than it was a year ago. You might remember last year, this was a team that just bombarded people from three-point range, but at the same time had Isaac Haas down low. They had other guys that could get to the basket. They were just so dynamic, and they were attacking you from so many ways that they were really, really hard team to defend. And this year's team has some of those same dynamics. I know that was something that Rutgers struggled with a little bit last night. And now that Trevin Williams is emerging the way he is, it gives them more of that inside-outside look. At the same time, these guys are either role players who've been put into a bigger role for the first time, or they're younger players. They're just not yet at the level of reliability as the guys who were here last year. These four seniors who are multi-year starters who are all playing professional basketball right now. So because the offense is going to be more volatile from night to night, Purdue had to, at some point this season, start to raise the floor a little bit on what its defense was. It had to be able to expect a higher level of defense, a more consistent defensive performance night in and night out. And you saw them start to turn the corner on that late in the non-conference season, those last couple wins, Ohio and Belmont. I thought that led into the Iowa game. And for the most part, they've played pretty good defense at home. It's been taking that on the road and traveling with it that has been the problem, and I still don't think they're at the level they want to be. It's obviously tougher to defend on the road. You don't have a crowd at your back. It's a different kind of challenge to try to do it on the road. The other team's more comfortable. A lot of little factors play into it, but that's what's going to determine how well you finish as a season, as a team. It's going to determine, do you go into neutral environments or hostile environments in a Big Ten tournament or an NCAA tournament and find a way to shut another team down, limit its best guys, and come out on top. What Purdue has done is find a guy in Nojel Eastern who they feel like is the guy that they can be kind of the leader on defense in a lot of ways. He's the guy that they feel gets things started. They like to put him on the opposing point guard have him really jam that guy, wear him down, and let the offense kind of, the defense sort of filter off of that. And that's been a big development for them, but I think they need to find more consistent defensive help from all five spots.
And you mentioned Nojel Eastern. How has his play improved from the start of the season now, really playing, you know, big role here for the Boilermakers, as we kind of expected him to do at the start of the season? How has his play improved from, you know, not from start now, kind of middle of the season here in January?
He had started to come along actually really down the stretch last year. He was becoming more of a factor. Purdue was starting to rely on him to come in and hold his own defensively, but also what he could contribute as a rebounder, being a 6'6", 220-pound guy. Obviously, so usually matched up with another point guard, and that was allowing him to have some real advantages on the boards. They can post him up, too. The defensive prowess that he has now, though, is the way that they've kind of elevated him into this, you know, top defender role. That really just started this year. It was early this year, though. I mean, even as early as the Charleston Classic or the home game they had against Ball State, where he had a really good performance against Taylor Persons when he was on the floor. They started to kind of turn some heads, and they saw that they had a guy that they could really count on in that position. Where he still needs to make some strides there offensively, he's really cut down on his turnovers for 40 minutes this year, which has been a good sign, obviously, especially from a point guard. Where he's not yet consistent is with his shot, and he knows that, and it's something that I think he's probably kind of tired of hearing about. But he's trying to make up for that in other ways. I mean, he's not really going to be a consistent jump shooter, but he's trying to get to the basket. He's trying to flash and attack more that way. He had a nice dunk the other night where he came down the baseline and Carson Edwards hit him on a break. And he's trying to work on the free throw shooting, because that was a problem for him last year. It was a problem early this year, but he's also had games where he's made, you know, six in a row and helped them win down the stretch. So he's a guy who is just a sophomore, and he's in that kind of that middle ground a little bit, where he's making big contributions, but you also see what he could potentially grow into down the line if he makes improvements in some important areas.
Nathan Baer joins us. He writes for the Lafayette Journal and Courier. So you get the big home win over Rutgers last night, and now you try to carry that momentum into Saturday. What is your kind of outlook on this game when you look at IU and Purdue? You know, you don't really have to say much for people to, you know, to pay attention to that matchup. But IU, who has lost their last three, and they kind of, you know, blew a big lead. They never really could get a lead in that Nebraska game. Yeah. They blew that game, a big Big Ten matchup at home, which I thought was kind of a must win for the Hoosiers on Monday. So what do you kind of look for when you look at this matchup with IU and Purdue coming up on Saturday?
You know, what's interesting about that game is what Nebraska used that really flummoxed IU was this zone defense, and that's something that Purdue does not use at all. They are a 100% man-to-man team, or at least they have been, except for a couple of possessions in the preseason about 4 years ago. Matt Painter flirted with it for, boy, just a blip, and decided that no, it's not for him. He's just been a man-to-man defense guy his whole career, and that's what. And to his credit, that, you know, because they focus on that, it's something that they've thrived with at times. But that's obviously the thing that threw Indiana off. So now Purdue's got to find a way to match up with the Hoosiers man-to-man. It's going to be interesting because they have some decisions to make as how they want to guard Purdue or guard IU. Because, like I said, Nojel Eastern, despite his size, they typically use him to really take out the opposing point guard. So now who guards Romeo Langford? Does that go to the Ryan Klein-Sasha Stefanovic combination? Does that go to Carson Edwards, although he's going to maybe have a little bit of a size disadvantage there? That's something they have to factor in. But I also wonder now, again, with the way that Trevion Williams has emerged, and he's averaging 12.6 and 12 rebounds over the last three games. I mean, two double-doubles in the last three games, had a career-high 16 and 13 last night against Rutgers. As recently as a week ago, Michigan State was talking about him as a guy that didn't really show up on their scouting report at all, as a guy they had to be worried about. Now he's almost this central piece in what Purdue is doing right now. And how does IU respond to that? Because I don't know that they really, because of their injury situation, I don't know who they have right now that matches up with him really well. And then Matt Harms is also a guy for Purdue that feels a little bit of a funk, but he's got the skills to make a much bigger impact than he's making right now. And that's a guy that, again, that IU doesn't necessarily have someone to match up with him very well right now. So that's what Purdue's got to figure out a way, I think, to try to limit Langford, try to limit Juwan Morgan as much as they can, but also try to really capitalize on the strength that they have. And that's going to come in half-court offense. You know, if shots aren't falling from Purdue, do they sort of revert into this thing that they have once in a while where they just start chucking up a lot of jump shots and get out of running their offense? Or do they do a good job of, you know, driving with guys like Edwards and moving the ball, moving it both halves of the floor, getting it inside to Trevion Williams? That's where they can really put a lot of pressure on IU.
And IU as well has, you know, not been able to get off to starts. They've had, you know, a number of slow starts this season. So is that kind of a weakness that Purdue looks at heading into Saturday?
Well, I think every team wants to get off to a good start. And I think it's especially tough if you get off to those bad starts on the road, because now you're letting the opposing crowd kind of get into it, and they become a bigger factor. And Mac Arena is going to be pretty nuts, I think. A Saturday home game, Saturday afternoon home game against IU, all the students are back. I think it's going to be pretty intense in there. And Indiana can't really afford probably too poor of a start in that game, because once the cacophony starts to kind of build in a place like Mackey Arena, now it becomes even, you know, you're trying to communicate on defense, you're trying to, you know, get messages from the bench onto the floor, and it's hard to do when you can't hear yourself think. So they can't afford to get off to a situation where that becomes a big factor in the game. They've got to come out with a stronger start than that, or that's going to be a big advantage for Purdue.
Nathan Barron joins us. Hey, Nathan, thanks for joining us. He writes for the Lafayette Journal and Courier. We'll do it again sometime.
Sure thing, anytime.
Nathan Barron from the Lafayette Journal and Courier. You can find him there online, LafayetteJournalAndCourier.com, on Twitter at NBairdJC.